Welcome, dear listeners, to our scary stories. Venture with us into the shadows, where reality blurs into the inexplicable. Tonight, we dive deep into a tale where ancient curses meet innocent dares. So, dim the lights, lean in close, and let the chill of the unknown embrace you. Autumn had crept upon the town, and the first signs of winter nipped at the heels of the children who roamed the lantern-lit streets. Their muffled laughter echoed through the fog that settled under the pale glow of street lamps. Houses, with their peaked roofs and ancient bricks, stood like silent watchers. As if on cue, an icy breeze swept through, sending dried leaves dancing and swirling in its wake. At the heart of the town was a quiet street where old oaks lined each side, their shadows mingling with the darkness. But one yard stood out among the rest, that of Old Man Jenkins. An expansive lawn stretched towards an imposing house, its darkened windows staring blankly out. Right at the edge of this yard, illuminated by the silvery moon, was the legendary Weeping Willow. As the children exchanged tales of ghouls and specters, they gathered near this mystical tree. Its branches swayed gently, despite there being no wind. The drooping leaves, resembling tears frozen mid-fall, shimmered as the moon cast its glow upon them. The tree seemed alive, every inch of it pulsing with an ancient energy that drew the children closer, yet kept them at bay with an unspoken threat. "Did you hear about the witch?" whispered Mark, a freckled boy with red hair, his voice carrying a note of trepidation. "They say she's trapped in there, waiting for a brave soul to free her." A blonde girl named Lucy shivered. Why would anyone want to free something so sinister? She looked at the tree with a mixture of awe and fear. Then there was Sarah. With her dark hair and defiant eyes, she often led the adventures. She stood a little apart, scrutinizing the tree. The moonlight caught her face, highlighting her determined expression. "Legends are just that," she declared, stepping closer to the willow. "Stories to keep nosy children away." "But Sarah," began John, another of the group, his voice edged with worry. "It's Halloween. They say the curse is strongest tonight." She smirked. "All the more reason to prove it's just a myth." Turning to face her audience, she announced, "I'll pluck a twig from the willow. If the witch exists, let her show herself." The children gasped. No one had ever dared to do such a thing, especially not on Halloween. They watched with bated breath as Sarah took a step closer, then another, towards the weeping willow. The world around seemed to hush, awaiting her move. Every crunch of the grass under Sarah's feet felt amplified, every rustle of the leaves more pronounced. The closer she got, the colder the air became. She could see her breath form little clouds as she exhaled. Stopping at the base, she tentatively reached out. Her fingers brushed against a slender twig, and as they did, a whisper floated through the air, barely audible, "Return in kind." Sarah's heart raced, but her resolve remained unbroken. She snapped the twig off. The moment felt suspended in time. Then, like the snap of a taut string, the stillness broke as Sarah turned and sprinted back to the group. The children cheered, their voices full of admiration and relief. Yet, as they celebrated their small victory against the legend, none of them noticed the ground near the willow where, bathed in moonlight, something new began to stir. Sarah's feet hesitated at the edge of the tree's expansive shadow, its sprawling form resembling a net waiting to ensnare any who dared tread too close. A weeping willow's gnarled branches, like the arms of an ancient crone, danced and twirled above, each movement casting grotesque shapes on the ground that morphed and shifted with every sway. The night's chill seemed to grow more biting as she drew nearer, her senses heightened to every sound around her. The distant hoot of an owl, the gentle rustling of leaves, even her own breath, which she could see forming into little white puffs before her. The very atmosphere around the tree felt thick, laden with years of whispered secrets and hushed tales. With each step, her shoes pressed into the dew-laden grass, leaving damp imprints behind. The leaves above her rustled, whispering secrets only they knew, their long, slender forms brushing against each other like the soft murmurs of forgotten spirits. Sarah stopped momentarily, her heartbeat loud in her ears. The legends, the stories she'd brushed off as mere tales to scare children, felt suddenly all too real. Yet, there was a fire in her, a need to prove herself and debunk the myth that had held the town captive for so long. Taking a deep breath, she slowly extended her hand towards one of the slender twigs. The cold bark brushed against her fingertips, its texture rough and ancient. As she applied pressure, preparing to snap it off, a voice, barely more than a breeze, whispered in her ear, "Return in kind." The sheer unexpectedness of it made her fingers release their grip. The twig, now freed, sprang back to its original position. Sarah's heart, which had already been racing, now felt like a frantic bird trapped inside a cage, fluttering wildly against her ribcage. Without a second thought, she turned on her heel and ran, the voice echoing hauntingly in her mind. The distance between the tree and her home seemed to stretch endlessly. Street lamps flashed by as her feet pounded on the cobblestone path, every echo sounding like a pursuer right on her heels. The once comforting homes of her neighbors now loomed like silent sentinels, their darkened windows watching her frantic escape. By the time she reached her front door, she was out of breath, her chest heaving as she fumbled with the door handle. Once inside, she slammed it shut, the finality of the sound echoing through the quiet house. She leaned against the door, her heartbeat slowly returning to normal, yet the whisper's eerie message replayed over and over in her mind, each repetition sending fresh chills down her spine. Return in kind. The first hints of dawn painted the sky in muted hues of pinks and oranges. Birds began their morning serenades, and the world seemed to shake off the cloak of night, welcoming a new day. Sarah's room, bathed in the soft glow of morning, was a haven of peace. The worn-out wooden floorboards, the gentle swish of lace curtains, and the faint aroma of lavender from the night before all combined to create an atmosphere of tranquility. Yet, despite the serenity, Sarah's sleep was restless. Tangled sheets bore testament to a night filled with uneasy dreams. But what finally roused her from the depths of slumber was not a dream. It was a sound, a series of hushed whispers that seemed to emanate from right outside her window. Rubbing her eyes, she moved the curtain aside slightly and peered out. The sight that met her gaze sent a jolt of disbelief through her. There, on the patch of earth that had been barren the day before, stood a new tree. Not just any tree, but a sapling that stood tall and unnaturally straight. What was most startling was its height. It was exactly as tall as Sarah. For a moment, she thought she might still be caught in the remnants of a dream. Blinking several times, she opened the window, letting in the crisp morning air. The whispers grew louder, more distinct, a medley of voices expressing shock, curiosity, and fear. Did you see that tree? It wasn't there yesterday. It's as if it just grew overnight. Sarah quickly dressed and stepped outside, joining the gathering crowd. Neighbors, friends, and even strangers had congregated around her home, their eyes fixed on the sapling. The murmurs continued, each person offering their own theory or echoing tales they'd heard from elders long ago. Mrs. Bennett, an older woman with silver hair and a penchant for town gossip, wrung her hands nervously. "It's a sign," she whispered, looking around to ensure everyone was listening. My grandmother used to speak of such things. When the willow seeks a soul, another tree rises. Mr. Grayson, the town librarian with a logical mind, scoffed. Nonsense, Margaret. Trees grow. It's their nature. This one might have been overlooked. But Sarah, who stood a bit apart from the crowd, felt a knot of unease in her stomach. She remembered the whisper from the night before and the legend surrounding the weeping willow. And now, this sapling, identical to her in height, standing defiantly outside her window, it couldn't be a mere coincidence. The town was in an uproar, and as the sun climbed higher, casting its light on the sapling's smooth bark and fresh leaves, more and more townsfolk gathered, each drawn to the mystery of the tree that had appeared overnight. And amidst them all, Sarah, with a growing sense of dread, wondered what the emergence of this sapling truly meant for her. As the town continued its fervent discussion and speculations about the mysterious sapling, Sarah knew there was one person who might have answers. Old Man Jenkins had lived in the town longer than anyone could remember, and his home, with its peeling paint and ivy-covered walls, was a testament to the passage of time. More than the age of his home, it was the legendary willow in his yard that drew Sarah to him. She approached the old man's residence with a sense of urgency. The wooden gate creaked open, revealing a pathway lined with overgrown shrubs and wildflowers, leading up to the ancient house. It was said that Old Man Jenkins rarely had visitors, and looking at the state of his front yard, Sarah believed it. The door, dark and weathered, stood slightly ajar. Taking a deep breath, she knocked, the sound echoing in the still afternoon air. Moments later, the door swung open wider, revealing Old Man Jenkins. His face was a roadmap of wrinkles, each one telling a story, and his eyes, sharp and clear, held a wisdom that came with age. "Sarah," he greeted, not surprised to see her. "I expected you'd come around." Without preamble, she voiced her concerns. "The sapling outside my home, do you know why it's there?" Old Man Jenkins hesitated, then beckoned her inside. His living room was a maze of old books, artifacts, and trinkets from days long past. He gestured for her to sit and then began his tale. Centuries ago, he began, his voice raspy yet clear, before our town even had a name, there was a woman, a healer, known by many as a witch. She was powerful and used her abilities to help the villagers. But as with all things, envy took root. Sarah listened intently, hanging on to every word. Some villagers, blinded by jealousy and fear, accused her of dark magic. They believed she drew her power from an ancient source and sought to bind her. And so, in their fear, they turned her into the Weeping Willow. Sarah's heart raced. A legend, which she had dismissed as a child's tale, was becoming all too real. The witch, even as a tree, held immense power, Old Man Jenkins continued. She was neither alive nor entirely dead, trapped in a wooden prison. But such powerful curses have a cost. Every 100 years, the tree needs a soul to sustain itself. Sarah's breath caught in her throat. Are you saying that the sapling, Old Man Jenkins nodded gravely, is a sign that the curse is active? It seeks what it is owed. Silence enveloped the room, broken only by the ticking of an old clock on the mantelpiece. Sarah, trying to process the weight of the revelation, realized the gravity of the situation. The legends, the dares, the whispers, they all pointed to a chilling reality that was now knocking on her doorstep. Autumn gave way to the biting cold of winter, and with the change of season came a series of inexplicable occurrences that sent ripples of anxiety through the town. The morning mists seemed thicker, lasting well into the day, and a perpetual overcast hung in the sky, rendering everything in shades of gray. A heavy silence, punctuated only by the wind's mournful howls, became the town's constant companion. It started subtly at first. Mrs. Thompson, the baker, swore she heard Sarah's voice calling out to her from the back of her shop when she was alone. Mr. Larson, the postman, recounted finding his letters scattered about, even though he distinctly remembered placing them neatly in his bag. Little Tommy from down the street ran home one afternoon, terrified, claiming he'd seen his toys moving on their own. The incidents were dismissed by some as mere coincidences or the workings of an overactive imagination. But as the days wore on, the disturbances grew more frequent and more unsettling. The heart of these disturbances was Sarah. She felt a constant tingle at the base of her neck, a feeling of being watched. Several times she'd find herself in places with no memory of how she got there. One evening, she stood at the edge of the woods for hours, staring into the dense thicket, oblivious to the cold. Another time, she woke up in the middle of the night to find herself outside, standing next to the sapling, her hand reaching out to touch its smooth bark. Whispers traveled fast, and soon everyone in town had a story or had heard a tale about Sarah's episodes. Some said she'd been taken over by the witch's spirit. Others believed she was simply seeking attention. But those who looked into her eyes knew the truth. They were the eyes of someone trapped, someone screaming from the inside, trying to break free. One afternoon, Lucy approached Sarah as she was walking home. Sarah, she began hesitantly, I heard you singing from the old chapel last night. But when I looked inside, you weren't there. Sarah looked at her, confusion evident in her eyes. I was home last night, Lucy. I didn't step out. Lucy shivered, recalling the melancholic tune she'd heard, a voice eerily similar to Sarah's, echoing in the night. These inexplicable events culminated one fateful evening. The town had gathered for a local fair. Lanterns adorned the streets, children ran about laughing, and stalls with games and food added to the festivity. Sarah, feeling a bit detached but wanting to be part of the community, was there too. As the clock tower struck 8, a gust of wind blew out all the lanterns, plunging the fairground into darkness. In the sudden quiet, a haunting lullaby began, its source indistinguishable. As the lights returned, Sarah stood in the center of the square, her face pale, her eyes blank, singing the eerie tune. The town watched in horror, realizing that the legends they had feared were not just tales. As winter's grip tightened around the town, a coldness of a different sort took hold of Sarah. Her once vibrant demeanor was replaced with an aloofness that distanced her from everyone, including herself. The once clear boundaries between dream and reality began to blur, each day becoming a disorienting maze of haunting visions and unexplained events. On several occasions, Sarah's mother found her daughter standing motionless by her window in the early hours, gazing out at the sapling. The connection between Sarah and the tree was undeniable. They seemed to be bound together in a dance of fate, each echoing the other's sentiments. The town's old inn had a large ornate mirror in its main hall, a relic from times long past. One day, as Sarah passed by it, she halted in her tracks. Her reflection, once a faithful representation of her, now had a will of its own. Sarah would tilt her head, and a moment later, her reflection would follow suit. The lag was only a second or two, but it was enough to send shivers down her spine. Those brief moments when her image didn't match her movements felt like an eternity, and in that eternity, she saw a face that was hers, yet not. But of all the peculiarities she faced, it was the visions that disturbed her the most. Often, in the quiet corners of her day, Sarah would see her, the witch. Cloaked in tattered robes, her face obscured by shadows, she would appear. Sometimes at the edge of the woods, sometimes at the foot of Sarah's bed. And every time, she'd whisper the same plea, "Release me." These visions were fragments, splinters of a past long forgotten. In them, Sarah could feel the witch's anguish, her desperate desire for freedom, and the heavy chains of the curse that bound her to the willow. With each vision, Sarah felt herself drawn more and more into the witch's world, and the line between them became increasingly thin. Her friends watched with growing concern. Lucy tried to talk to Sarah to bring back the spirited girl she once knew. "Sarah," she said one day, holding her friend's hands, "you have to fight this. Whatever is happening, we'll face it together." Sarah, tears glistening in her eyes, whispered, "I'm trying, Lucy. But it feels like I'm being pulled into a deep abyss, and I'm not sure how much longer I can resist." As days turned into nights and nights into days, the town watched, helpless, as Sarah's descent into the enigmatic world of the Weeping Willow continued. A looming sense of dread was inescapable. Something had to give, and soon. As snow began to blanket the town, covering rooftops and streets in a pristine white layer, an undercurrent of tension ran deep among its residents. The unease was palpable at the town meetings, in hushed conversations at the local diner, and even among children who played less boisterously than before. The tale of Sarah and the mysterious happenings associated with the willow had permeated every household. One evening, a town meeting was called at the community center, a structure of brick and timber that had stood for generations. It was here that major decisions were made, and today, the hall was packed to capacity. Mayor Henderson stood at the podium, clearing his throat to gain the attention of the murmuring crowd. "We are all here because of the recent events that have shaken our town. We need to decide on a course of action." A middle-aged farmer named Mr. Collins stood up, his face etched with worry. "That tree," he began, pointing in the direction of the infamous willow, "is the source of all our troubles. We should cut it down." Murmurs of agreement rippled through the crowd, but they were quickly countered by others who voiced their concerns. Mrs. Bennett, her silver hair pulled back tightly, stood up. "It's not that simple. My grandmother's tales warned of the consequences of harming the tree. Cutting it might unleash a wrath we're not prepared to face." The room buzzed with countless opinions. Some recalled legends of old, of curses that retaliated when tampered with. Others, fueled by desperation and fear, argued for uprooting the tree and burning it to ashes. Amid the growing cacophony of voices, Lucy stood up, her eyes brimming with tears. "Please, we can't forget that Sarah is at the center of all this. We have to think of her, of what's best for her. She's one of us." A hush fell over the crowd as the weight of Lucy's words sank in. Every gaze turned towards Old Man Jenkins, who had remained silent throughout. His deep-set eyes held a far-off look, as if he was peering into the annals of history, searching for an answer. Finally, he spoke, his voice carrying the weight of years. "There's a balance to everything. Nature, magic, life, they all seek equilibrium. The willow is bound by ancient magic, and while cutting it down might seem like a solution, it might throw that balance into chaos." The room remained silent, the gravity of the decision pressing down on everyone present. Mayor Henderson, after a prolonged silence, spoke again. "We need a solution that doesn't harm our town or our own. Let's consult the elders, delve into our history, and find a way to resolve this without resorting to drastic measures." The meeting concluded with a sense of unity. The town, despite its fears, decided to face the haunting mystery together, hoping to find an answer that would save Sarah and restore peace to their community. In the heart of the town's library, tucked away in a dimly lit corner, a group of elders convened. Surrounded by dusty tomes and scrolls, they pored over ancient texts, seeking clues that might hold the key to Sarah's salvation. Their search led them to a long-forgotten ritual, a rite that was believed to sever unnatural bonds between man and nature. Under the shroud of twilight, the town gathered at Old Man Jenkins' yard. The scene was eerily quiet, save for the distant sound of the river and the rustling leaves of the ominous willow. Torches were lit, casting a warm, flickering glow around the tree, contrasting with the cold, silver light of the moon above. Elder Miriam, recognized for her deep knowledge of the arcane, led the ceremony. She wore a robe of deep blue, embroidered with silver symbols that shimmered as they caught the torchlight. In her hands, she held a staff, its top adorned with a crystal that pulsed with a soft inner light. "We are gathered here," she began, her voice firm yet soothing, "to free a soul entwined and to restore balance. This ritual will demand our unity, our collective will, and our unwavering belief." The townsfolk formed a circle around the tree, holding hands, their faces reflecting a mix of hope and trepidation. The elders, standing equidistant from each other, began chanting in a language long forgotten, their voices harmonizing in an otherworldly melody. As their voices rose and fell, the atmosphere grew dense. A gentle breeze transformed into a gusty wind, making the torch flames dance wildly. The ground beneath them trembled, as if the very earth was reacting to their call. The willow, which had stood silent and imposing until now, began to react. Its branches, resembling the arms of a trapped creature, whipped around violently, as if trying to break free from invisible shackles. The leaves rustled louder, producing a sound akin to a thousand whispered cries. Sarah, who stood at the edge of the circle, felt a pull, a tug at her very soul. It was as if the tree was trying to drag her into its embrace, to make her a part of its eternal curse. But the hands that held hers, Lucy on one side and her mother on the other, gripped her firmly, anchoring her to the present. The chanting grew louder, more insistent. Elder Miriam raised her staff, the crystal atop it glowing brightly, casting beams of light that touched the tree. Each beam seemed to burn, producing tendrils of smoke where it met the willow's bark. Time seemed to stand still, the world reduced to the circle of townsfolk, the tree, and the relentless chanting. And then, as suddenly as it had begun, it ended. The wind ceased its furious dance, the ground settled, and an overwhelming calm descended. The townsfolk, exhausted yet hopeful, looked towards the tree. The violent whipping of its branches had ceased, and it now stood eerily still, its silhouette illuminated by the moon's soft glow. But the most significant change was in Sarah. The distant, haunted look in her eyes was gone, replaced by clarity, and a flicker of her old spirit. While the ritual's success was evident, the town knew that they had only just confronted the shadow of the ancient curse. The true test lay in the days to come. The aftermath of the ritual left a stillness in the air, a silence that spoke volumes. The townsfolk, with bated breath, watched as Sarah slowly approached the sapling. It stood tall and defiant, its form mirroring her own. Sarah, while freed from the haunting visions, still felt a lingering connection, an unspoken understanding. She could feel the witch's anguish, her centuries of captivity, her longing for freedom. The realization dawned upon her that while the ritual had weakened the bond, it had not entirely severed it. Lucy, sensing Sarah's intention, tried to step forward, but an invisible force held her back. Sarah's mother, tears streaming down her face, whispered a silent prayer. With determination in her eyes, Sarah pulled out a small, intricately carved knife from her pocket. The blade gleamed under the moonlight as she etched a symbol onto the sapling's bark, a symbol of sacrifice, of offering. "I understand your pain," Sarah whispered, her voice barely audible against the stillness of the night. "For centuries, you've been trapped, longing for release. But true freedom comes at a price." Taking a deep breath, she continued, "I offer my own freedom, my own bond to this place, in exchange for yours." As the final word left her lips, a soft glow emanated from the symbol. The sapling, once full of life, began to wither. Its leaves turned brown, curling up, and its once sturdy form began to shrink and shrivel. A few paces away, the mighty weeping willow, the guardian of the witch's essence, responded in kind. Its once animated branches slowly drooped, hanging low, casting long shadows on the ground beneath. It was as if the tree itself was mourning, releasing a sorrow held within for centuries. The townsfolk, witnessing the scene unfold before them, felt a mix of emotions. Relief, sorrow, admiration, and a profound respect for the young girl who had shown them the true meaning of sacrifice. Lucy rushed forward, enveloping Sarah in a tight embrace, tears of relief and gratitude spilling over. The rest of the town slowly joined, forming a protective circle around the two, their unified presence a testament to the community's strength and resilience. The night, which had started with uncertainty and fear, ended with hope. The curse of the Weeping Willow had been confronted, not with violence or force, but with understanding and sacrifice. And in that sacrifice, Sarah had shown them all the depth of human spirit and the lengths one would go to for the sake of another. Spring graced the town, heralding a season of renewal and hope. The chilling events of winter seemed like a distant memory, yet their impact was undeniable. The town, once vibrant with mundane activities, now held an air of reverence, especially around the area where the willow stood. Sarah, at the heart of it all, was undoubtedly transformed. While the chains that bound her to the willow's curse had been severed, she had emerged with gifts she never possessed before. She could now perceive spirits, communicate with the unseen, and sense the energy imprints of places and objects. This newfound ability was both a blessing and a burden. Children, fascinated by her gift, would approach her with questions about departed pets, while adults would seek her insight into the mysteries of the beyond. Lucy, ever the loyal friend, stood by Sarah's side, helping her navigate the complexities of her new reality. They often sat by the river, watching the water flow and discussing the intricacies of life, death, and everything in between. The townsfolk, while grateful for Sarah's sacrifice, couldn't help but be wary of her new abilities. Whispers of seer and medium followed her wherever she went. But with time, as is the nature of small towns, people adjusted. They came to respect her gift, often seeking her out for guidance or merely to listen to her tales of the spirits she communicated with. The Weeping Willow, the epicenter of all that had transpired, now stood silent and majestic. Its branches no longer whispered of curses, but of histories long past. Its presence served as a constant reminder of the town's brush with the supernatural. Years rolled by, and as new generations were born, the events of that fateful winter night became tales of legend. Parents would recount the story of brave Sarah and the cursed willow to wide-eyed children, who in turn would pass it down. And, as with all legends, a sense of daring accompanied the tale. Children, their hearts racing with excitement, would dare each other to approach the tree on moonlit nights, trying to catch a whisper, a hint of the magic of yesteryears. The legacy of the Weeping Willow was cemented in the town's history. It was no longer just a tree, it was a symbol, a reminder of sacrifice, of the thin veil between the known and the unknown, and of the night the town heard the haunting whispers of a witch's soul. Thank you for joining us in this haunting journey through the twisted alleys of legend and reality. Remember, in the quiet of the night, when the world seems too still, our stories linger, waiting to be heard again. Sleep tight, dear listeners, and may your dreams remain untouched by the whispers of the Weeping Willow. This is our Scary Stories signing off for tonight.